Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll discuss the dangerous desire for autonomy. You're calling your talk The Menace, the Myth, and the Mayhem of Autonomy.
Yes, that's some pretty serious alliteration. The Menace, the Myth, and the Mayhem of Autonomy.
Yeah, so why did you choose this topic?
Well, I think for most leaders, maybe all leaders, and maybe I'm just looking at the world through my filter, I think one of the components of our personal definition of success as leaders is autonomy. Mm. And by autonomy, I simply mean to be self-governing, to be in a position as a leader to do what I want, when I want, where I want, to have the resources to pursue whatever opportunities I want to. And to not be in a position where nobody can actually make me do anything, to just have total autonomy. And I think it's that the quest for autonomy is that part of leadership we don't talk about. It's embarrassing. I felt funny even saying that out loud, you know. But I think it's in all of us. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But as we're going to talk about, it can certainly be a dangerous thing.
So, Andy, would you say that this is something that most leaders drift toward?
Well, I think that's a nice way of saying it. I think we actually yearn for it. Mm. I think we aim for it. I think when we think about our preferred future, autonomy is part of the picture.
Well, Andy, without getting into the really psychology of it, where does this pull come from?
Well, I think it can come from a lot of places. And again, neither of us are psychologists, but having talked to so many leaders, I think part of it is fear. I think our past oftentimes determines how strong a desire this is. If you grew up in a family where, let's say, your mom or dad lost their job, your family suffered, you grew up with this desire, hey, I don't ever want to find myself in a situation where I'm dependent on someone, where I'm dependent on a company. Yeah. The past can create a sense of terror about our future when it comes to avoiding certain things. So I think that could be part of it. I know one of my best friends who's a CEO, that's his story, that he grew up and they were very, very poor because his father continued to lose jobs based on not his performance, but based on companies that or industries that just weren't doing well at that particular time. And so he is driven to never be in a situation where somebody can dictate his future. So again, there's that. I think another thing that drives this for many of us is a misunderstanding of what we see. When we look at successful people, we basically see their highlight reels. We see the highlight reels of the rich and famous. Mm. Our corporate heroes don't have bosses. They have boards that we assume they can control. They didn't really build something to last. They built something to sell to Microsoft or to Apple. We don't just envy the lifestyles of the rich and famous. We really, I think as leaders, what we envy is their autonomy. Again, they have the freedom to be self-governing. You know, I want to be the guy whose car is never dirty, that somehow I could have a black car in Georgia during pollen season and still look the part. So I think that picture, movies, television, articles, books, I think all of that gets mixed up in our definition of success. And again, mix that in with our natural desire to dictate our own futures, and next thing you know, you're leaning toward autonomy.
In your talk, you referred to something that can develop in a leader when they realize that autonomy isn't coming quite as fast as they want.
Yeah, and this is a little bit of a sidebar, but I think this is important to talk about before we get right back to the core of this subject. I see, especially in men, and I'm sure this can happen in women as well, but my experience with men is when men, get to their early 40s, mid 40s, maybe early 50s, and it's not happening for them as quickly as they want it to, I think we develop this sense of, I call it a low-grade anger. There's just an anger. There's a frustration. Of course, we don't take it out necessarily on the people who are above us, but we certainly have a tendency to take it out on the people who work for us, report to us. Mm. It shows up in our homes. And at the end of the day, who we're really angry with is ourselves. We're not where we thought we should be. And while it's easy to blame a company, a boss, an industry, bad luck, or a lot of things, essentially we know the person who's responsible for us not being where we wanted to be is the person we see in the mirror every morning. So I tell guys all the time, look, if you're not happy with your wife, your kids, your house, or your car, it's because you aren't happy with you. And the reason is you chose her, you raised them, and you leased it. So I think part of dealing with the internal tension of, hey, I thought I would be further along by now. I thought I'd have more money. I thought I'd have more position. I thought I would own my own company. You know, all that stuff gets mixed up again with this preferred picture of what our lives should look like. And we develop this sense of low-grade anger. And again, that's part of the danger of allowing our quest for autonomy to get out of hand.
Well, Andy, speaking of danger, you specifically talked about four dangers that the quest for autonomy raises in leaders. The first one
is there's a fine line between as free as you can possibly be and prison.
Yeah. Yeah, and you pretty much said it. Everybody who is in prison because of an inappropriate expression of personal freedom. I mean, again, we call those crimes, but that's right. What a crime is. I want something that I don't have, or I want to accomplish something, or I want to inflict something on someone that I think they deserve, and so I'm going to freely choose to do something that lands me in prison. But back on the corporate side of the ledger, how many stories have we heard about men in particular that had it all, you know, they already had an enviable lifestyle. Mm. They already had the autonomy we all, you know, want. And yet one simple expression of their autonomy, they cross a line. And then what happens? Think of this. They lose all their autonomy.
Wow.
You know, men and women in prison have lost they have lost complete control of their lives. So there really is, and this is really important for our listeners, there really is a fine line between as free as I can possibly be and losing all the freedom that I currently have. And maybe, you know, you're listening today and you've actually considered some options, some expressions of freedom that have the potential to undermine all or much of the freedom that you currently have, the freedom you've worked so hard for. And this is where we see men and women get in trouble. And again, generally it's men. I want a little more freedom, a little more autonomy. I'm above the rules. The rules are for the little people. Next thing you know, you cross a line. And it's amazing. You know, people are surprised. What? You know, I can go to jail for this? I mean, right. You know, surely there's someone can get me out of this. But again, what is that? It's a good thing that goes too far. Mm-hmm. It's that quest for as free as I can possibly be. And then we cross a line.
Andy, the second danger you list is power and wealth are intoxicating.
They absolutely are. We've talked about this before. The more you have of anything, the more you want. There, again, power, wealth, it's an appetite, and it is never fully and finally satisfied. So again, a man or woman gets to a place that they never dreamed they'd get, and they're not satisfied because it's an appetite. It's just the nature of things. And there's a diminishing return. You know, today's rush won't do it tomorrow. Mm. More actually becomes less. And as we all know, Lane, intoxicated people do not make great decisions, whether it's alcohol, success, fame, anything else. So back to our, you know, the core of this podcast, as a man or woman experiences more and more success, as they experience more and more autonomy, what do they want? They want more and more autonomy. Mm. And again, they begin to make decisions that they look back on later, unfortunately, oftentimes from prison or from bankruptcy or in divorce court, and they think, what in the world was I thinking? Well, intoxicated people don't make great decisions. So again, the quest for autonomy has the potential to set us up for bad decisions that, again, move us across lines that we never thought we would step across.
And people really begin to treat you differently.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And we've all experienced this. In fact, most of our podcast listeners have been on both sides of this. Our influence or power or wealth actually intoxicates the people around us. They start thinking that we are the smartest person in the room simply because we're the most influential person in the room. Mm. Suddenly, our ideas are good ideas. Our jokes are the funniest. And as people, again, lean in, you know, to the person who's on this autonomy quest, it just furthers the myth. It just, you know, furthers the journey. And again, it can become unhealthy pretty quickly. Along those same lines, you know, power and wealth lead to entitlement. And entitlement is addicting. While everybody else seems to be content to wait in line, you know, you're the one looking for a workaround. You know, you're walking around the restaurant with a 20 in your hand looking for some poor college student to slip them a 20 to, you know, get you to your table. And your kids are looking like at you like, Dad, you know. Not that I've ever done that. No. I've just heard about this. But I'll tell you, you know, even recently, you know, I have my mom passed away recently. My dad's 82. So, you know, once or twice a year I find myself headed to the emergency room, which just, you know, stuff that, you know, aging parents deal with. And, you know, I on many occasions I've walked into the emergency room with my dad hoping someone says, oh, there's Dr. Stanley or, oh, there's Andy. It's like, okay, you know, let's get this
step
going.
This way.
Yeah. On a couple of occasions, my mom needed to go to the emergency room and I took her to a hospital that was an extra 20-minute drive because I knew a whole lot of people in the ER went to one of our churches. So what is that? You say, Andy, you just love your mom. Yeah, no. I wanted some extra attention, you know, to kind of get this thing moving. So is that a bad thing? Oh, no, it's a natural thing. But I think we can all understand if that becomes a way of life, once again, that can get out of hand and lead to some unhealthy behaviors.
Andy, the third danger you listed is that relationships become a means to an end.
Yeah. Before long, we see everybody as a client, a customer, a potential customer, or a contact of some sort. And again, nobody does this on purpose, but in our quest for freedom, we begin to economize on our relationships. We're surrounded by a lot of people, but nobody's really close to us. You know a lot of people, but you're careful. You're always careful, not close. And I know for me, if I'm not intentional, I can have 1,000 fans and no friends. And I'll tell you what makes this even harder for a person with any kind of influence is it seems like everybody wants something. And the reason it seems like everybody wants something is because Everybody wants something.
Right?
Yeah, I was having coffee with a good friend of mine just a couple of days ago, actually, and he just moved his son to a different private school, and he said, "Well, it didn't take him long," and that was his subtle way of saying he's extremely wealthy person. He's got offices all over the country, and he said, "I get a call from the headmaster, and the headmaster says, hey, I'd like to have coffee," and he said, "So I just said, look, I'm always open to a good cup of coffee, but it'd be a lot easier if you would just tell me how much you want." And I did. I started laughing. And he said, there's silence on the other end of the phone. And he said, "No, seriously, just tell me how much do you want?" And he said, "The headmaster told me." I said, "Okay, I'll do that." So again, now that's an extreme example. But after a while, it feels like every phone call, every email, right, every, "Hey, let's get together." And, every "Hey" gets to, there's an ask on the end of it. What does that do to a leader? It pushes us again into a smaller and smaller and smaller circle of trusted friends, and before long, you arrive at the conclusion everybody just wants something from me. And again, while we enjoy the autonomy that comes with that, it is a dangerous place to be ultimately.
And Andy, that leads us to the last danger and what you call the most dangerous one of all. Ultimately, the quest for autonomy leads to isolation.
That's right. If this isn't something we're aware of, and if this isn't something we're intentional about guarding ourselves against, we end up isolated. And isolated people, like intoxicated people, they just make bad decisions. Once relationships have really become a means to an end, you're isolated. There are people around you, but they're all either getting a paycheck or they're related to you. And for our podcast listeners, this is a really important thing to keep an eye on. If you are surrounded primarily by people who get a paycheck or who are related to you, you may be further down the road toward isolation than you know and understand. And this is why I say intentional, because if we're not intentional, this is just the gravitational pull of success. The gravitational pull of success is everybody around me is getting a paycheck, or they're related to me. And not only are they related to me, they're dependent upon me. And when we are surrounded by people who need us, it is almost impossible for them to be honest with us. And then when we announce our next bad idea, everybody nods, but we're the ones that pay. So this is why isolation is so dangerous, especially for leaders. I have two friends that work with high profile entertainers, and many of their clients are very young. And every once in a while, one of their clients will end up in the news with some crazy story, some crazy annex. And so I was talking to one of these individuals one day, and I said, what happens? It's extraordinary talent, extraordinary success, and then they blow up. And this individual said to me exactly what I just said. Well, Andy, after a while, they are surrounded by people who are getting a paycheck. And once that happens, you can't reach them. You can't say anything to them. Suddenly, they confuse talent with maturity. And as we've talked about before on our podcast, there is no necessary correlation between talent and maturity, or success and maturity, or wealth and maturity. Wow. So again, this is the danger of isolation, because once we're isolated, we are set up to make a decision to undermine the thing that we long for, or that we're moving toward, which is the ability to do what we want, when we want, where we want, with whom we want, and define success any way we want.
Wow. So you weren't overselling it when you called autonomy dangerous. So how should a leader respond to this allure of autonomy?
Well, the first thing, and maybe the only thing, is to recognize that autonomy is a myth. There is no such thing as absolute autonomy. In fact, no one actually wants to live in a world of absolute autonomy because we are made to be relational. We are created for community. And men or women who are isolated, they're not in community, and they're not going to be happy. You just cannot find happiness in isolation. So what they do, or what we are tempted to do, is then create artificial relationships. And artificial relationships are artificial. They're not real. So consequently, there is no ultimate fulfillment there either. So I think number one, and maybe the point, is to recognize autonomy is a myth. It's a trap, and it's actually an unworthy goal. Even though, you know, the quest for, you know, freedom, the quest for independence, I understand that. But autonomy is an unworthy goal. It does not lead to happiness.
Andy, you've mentioned intentionality a couple of times in this podcast. How does that play into this?
I'm glad you asked that. The average person is in community whether they want to be or not, whether it's an actual neighborhood, a neighborhood association, a PTA, the people I work with. The average person has a boss. The average person has a manager. The average person has a built-in accountability, whether we want it or not. So for the person who is so successful or so influential, they can actually avoid that. They have to choose it. They almost, again, they have to create an artificial sense of community, not artificial relationships, but artificial community, which means they have to seek it out. They have to find men and women who are in that same season of life or that same stage of life and say, hey, we need each other. Let's meet. And I understand why people don't do this. We're busy and we like to do what we want to do. And again, the idea of submitting myself or submitting my schedule or submitting how much time I spend with my family or submitting my finances to someone else, again, that runs contrary to this quest for autonomy. But choosing to do so is what creates the actual community that I think keeps us in check. And Lane, we have both been in meetings or small groups or accountability groups with men who, you know, had the potential to just go off the rails and, you know, basically done interventions. Again, men especially who had the potential to, you know, create their own futures, create their own worlds, but who said to us, I don't want to end up like the people I read about. I don't want to end up like my father or my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And so again, they have sought out the community that creates the relationships that keep them from this, you know, this unworthy goal of autonomy.
Andy, I would think most of our podcast listeners are thinking, well, I hope I have to wrestle with this issue at that level one day.
Yeah, but actually, and this is, I'm glad you said that because this takes us back to the beginning, really the point of this podcast. If you're 25 years old and really just entered the job market and you've already begun thinking someday, one day, you know, I'm going to be like so-and-so, if now you can accept the fact that autonomy really isn't the goal. That really isn't the goal. You have already begun to sow seeds that will help you later on. You may be 35, 45 years old and finally gotten that job or that position and you're thinking, oh, I'm one step closer to being my own boss, you know, calling my own shots. Again, if you can accept now that as you set goals and as you, you know, as you think about your preferred future, to just realize autonomy is a myth. It is an unworthy goal. And when you sense yourself becoming disconnected from actual relationships and actual accountability, if that'll be a red flag, then again, you'll save yourself a world of trouble later on. So, you know, it comes down to this, you know, who's cheering for you, who's weeping for you, who can come after you if they sense that you're drifting. Someone should always be able to answer that question. One of the questions I ask men sometimes, but this certainly applies to the male and female leaders in our audience, are you willing to give people who don't work for you and who don't need anything from you access to you? Are you willing to give people who don't work for you and who don't need anything from you access to you? Because that is always a decision. This goes back to the intentionality we talked about a few minutes ago. Who outside your family feels free to throw themselves down in front of you in an attempt to keeping you from making a bad decision that will undermine, you know, your autonomy and your freedom? And if no one comes to mind or you're not sure, you may be closer to that line than you know, regardless of how old you are, regardless of where you are in the company, and regardless of how much money you make. It's good to be king, you know, but it's dangerous because autonomy is an unworthy goal.
Andy, thanks so much for your time today, and thanks to our listeners for joining us as well. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.